Our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for Mary and Elizabeth, who are examples of what faith means, who listened to the voice of the angels, and who trusted. Lord, we trust in your word. We believe your word, and we look forward to the day when Christ will return. But as in the days of old, we do not know when that will be. Christ himself told us that no one but the Father knows the time or the day. But Lord, we pray that hearts are prepared. We pray that Jesus is living in us. We pray that the Holy Spirit guides us. And we pray now that our hearts will be open to the prompting of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that the message that is brought forth, Lord, is your message and not mine. May we hear your message for each of us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm not sure if anybody wants to answer this question, but how many of you are over the age of 50? As you look around the church today, does it look different than it did 30 or 40 years ago? We often hear people saying, "I remember when our Sunday schools were filled to the capacity, and so was the sanctuary." How many of you remember those days? The world is different today, though, isn't it? The world is different than what it was 30 or 40 years ago. How many of you can remember a Christmas downtown? I didn't grow up here in Tyrone. I grew up in a little town called West Decatur outside of Phillipsburg. But I remember Phillipsburg at Christmas time. How many of you remember walking down through the streets and the stores being open and the windows being decorated for the holiday? I verified that Tyrone, like Hillsburg, would play Christmas music in the streets. Some of my favorite memories as a child is going to town on Friday night, when the sidewalks are full and you would walk up and down the streets and look at the window displays and hear that Christmas music playing. And it was even better if there were snowflakes falling. I am sorry that this is something that my children and my grandchildren have never experienced. Those are happy memories for me. How about for you? Were those happy memories for you as you recall what towns were once like? And they were filled with people hustling and bustling in the Christmas season. We remember when our churches were full. And people who moved into a community would look for a church to call their home. We now know that more than 60% of people who live right here in Tyrone are unchurched. We are God's people. We are called to go out and to share the good news of Jesus' birth with others. And what that means for us. Does that bring happy memories to you as well? Can you remember when you first realized who Jesus could be for you? Do you remember the first time that you heard the Holy Spirit speak to you? Probably not in an audible voice, but in a way that you knew that it was God's Holy Spirit. But what we need to remember is, even as happy and festive as this season can be, not everyone has good memories. This may be the first Christmas that you're celebrating without your loved ones. Not that every Christmas after that isn't also a moment of time of sadness, but that first one is the most difficult. But remember the words of the Apostle Paul that we heard last week? Rejoice in the Lord, rejoice always. So even in those moments of heartbreak and sadness, we need to remember that Christ is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. The scripture we heard this week are good reminders for us that we can recognize God's promises that he has given to us. Micah predicts that Bethlehem would be the birthplace of the one who would come and rule Israel. In Luke, Elizabeth and Mary recognize God's promises unfolding through the impending birth of their sons. So when you and I are in those periods of our life when it seems as if our hearts might be completely broken, those periods when we feel like there is nothing that could possibly go right because everything has been going wrong, when we don't know how it is that we're going to be able to put a decent meal on our tables, when we feel that we have just come to the end of our rope, God gives us words of hope. He doesn't only give us words of hope, he gives us his Son who is our hope. But as we listen and read his words, they remind us that God works in our lives just as God worked in the lives of those we read about. That God works in this small town of Tyrone just as God worked in that small town in a Judean country so many years ago. It's to remind us that Christ is alive because of his willingness to give himself for you and I, for the salvation of the world. But in order for that fruit to come to fruition, God had to become fully human, which he did in the birth of Jesus, which we are about to celebrate. The gospel we heard this morning is a series of events in a larger narrative of God's redemptive work for the world. Through them, we learn that God is faithful and God's promises can be trusted, even in those moments when we cry out, God, where are you? In Luke's narrative this morning, we heard how God's Holy Spirit was active and vital in that moment. Zechariah and Elizabeth's child, John the Baptist, was filled with the Holy Spirit before he was even born. We know how the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child who will be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God." Our reading this morning features Elizabeth and Mary. But I'd like us to concentrate on Elizabeth and how in these very short passages she has a prophetic voice. Of how she recognized the fulfillments of God's promises in an unborn child. Have you ever wondered about Mary's parents? We're not told anything about them, are we, in Scripture? Were they ashamed of Mary? Did they send her away to a relative to have this child? Were they fearful that Joseph would no longer want to marry her? And how would she be able to provide for herself and a child on her own? Or did Mary just need to get away? Did she just need to go to someone who was in the same circumstance as her and would understand? Someone whom she could go to that she could trust. Someone she was close with. Someone she could get advice from. We don't know any of that, do we? However, God obviously felt those things weren't important for us to know. Because what we have is what is important. We don't need to look at it as being a time of hardship or a time of rejection. What we need to know is that this situation was part of God's plan. And that Mary and Elizabeth are overflowing with excitement, with anticipation, with joy. Let's take a closer look at Elizabeth. In this narrative, we hear four thoughts of hers. First, she recognized that Mary was carrying a child who was blessed. Second, she recognized and shared with Mary the identity of that child. Why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? Elizabeth knows that Mary is carrying God's Son, and one day he would be recognized as the Messiah. Third, she recognized that leap of joy in her own womb. Was it in this moment that she remembered that Gabriel had also told Zechariah that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit before the birth of the Messiah? Finally, Elizabeth recognized the blessing of Mary's faith. Blessed is she who would be a fulfillment of what is spoken to her by the Lord. Belief in God's word. Trusting in God's promises. Knowing without a doubt that this child is going to be the hope of the world. This passage of scripture is small, and yet it communicates so much to us. It communicates to us the way God's Holy Spirit works in everyday lives. The thing is, we have to take the time to recognize it. We need to be open to God's Holy Spirit in a way that lets us see and feel and hear His voice. Christ continues to give us signs today. Christ continues to be the hope of the world. A hope that comes into this world because God loves us so much that He was willing to send His Son for each of us. But not only those who are here, but those who do not yet know. And so, my friends, we have to ask ourselves, how is it that we will take that love and that hope of Jesus Christ out into our community so that they may know the joy, the true joy of the Christmas season? Amen.